Welcome to Booktopia, you're on, and this week we are talking about...
My stomach just made a noise like a Wookiee.
Can I keep this?
Yes, the podcast has officially started.
It's already started, everyone. Guys. And as I was saying before, Sarah's stomach rudely interrupted me, was that this week we are talking about YA picks for Christmas. I'm Bronwyn.
I'm Sarah.
And I'm Tanea.
Okay, so we thought we'd just talk about maybe five of YA books that have just stuck with you, recent ones, slightly older, that's fine. Just talk about them. Why do you love them? Why would they be great for Christmas?
Okay, my number one is Renegades by Marissa Meyer, which you I literally that. Just walked up in the office and was like, I'm claiming this for the podcast to everyone. So I think that shows how much I loved it. It is a superhero, supervillain story, and it's a lot of fun, like Marissa Meyer books normally are. And I absolutely loved it. I didn't enjoy the last Marissa Meyer book I read, so like I think I was just so happy to have like loved more of her books, and I was like, oh my god, praise joy. And I've told like everyone just to go out and basically read this book.
I second Tanea on this choice.
Yes.
I mean, it belongs to you, I will agree, you did dibs it, but you have my support for this. I mean, really enjoyed it too.
I've gone so far as writing a blog on the Booktopian that says it's my favourite Marissa Meyer book ever. So I think like that shows how passionate I am about this book.
Well, I haven't read it yet, but the keyword is
read it.
Yet. I will read it because your reaction sold me. / I wouldn't even
have
you
read The Lunar Chronicles?
No, I haven't.
So when you know how much Tanea loves The Lunar Chronicles, mm-hmm. for her to say that she likes Renegades more, it's a big deal. It's Stop the Press is big.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow. I really loved Renegades.
Well, there you go. Maybe by myself for Christmas?
Yes, treat yourself to Renegades. Everyone treat yourself to Renegades.
Okay, so what's another one then?
Okay, the next one is another one I kind of like raved about as well, mm-hmm. Warcross by Marie Lu. I really love Marie Lu, but I just kind of forget about her sometimes. Like, I don't know why, but this one is kind of like a virtual reality game. And I just really like this one as well. I like the characters. I think Marie Lu does really interesting characters, and she tries to, you know, not do the same thing as is repeated in a lot of YA. And I liked the plot. And I like the fact that it was a virtual reality game because I feel like that's something that's not really been... It's not done much in YA. I mean, I'm sure it will become a thing maybe because this has been quite successful. Mm-hmm. But I really enjoyed that. And it was like part of it was set in Tokyo, and like that's a setting that doesn't normally come up in YA books. So like I really enjoyed it for multiple of reasons. That was fun.
I haven't read that one yet, but no. I do want to.
See, mine just keeps growing and growing.
Yep. The next one I have is The Language of Fawns by Leigh Bardugo.
Oh, that is on the top of my TBR pile.
It's beautiful.
Go and read me!
So, basically, Leigh Bardugo is the author of the Grisha trilogy and then the Six of Crows duology?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called? And both take part in this world, the same world, but just different characters kind of thing.
World.
And so The Language of Fawns is a short story collection, but not like how short story collections are normally done, where it's like stories about the characters in the series. It's more like a fairy tales that these characters would have heard kind of thing. And it's beautifully illustrated in shades of blue and a nice kind of
teal-y, whiny green, red
and teal. It's beautiful. And like as you turn the pages, more of the pictures come up for the stories and they pertain to the story. It's so beautiful. And I really liked it. I just felt it was a nice addition to the Grisha world. And Leigh Bardugo is amazing. She's like a goddess.
She's one of my favourite
She's
authors.
A goddess.
Me too. She can't, like, I loved the Grisha trilogy when it came out, but Six of Crows just blew my mind.
That's probably one of the best books I've ever read. That story just stuck with me. I absolutely loved it.
Thinking
about it makes me smile.
It's just utterly gorgeous. It's just such a sumptuous book.
The Language of Fawns is definitely perfect for fans because it just goes so well with the other books and is beautifully. It's so beautiful. Like, I loved it. I really did. And then my next one is One of Us is Lying by Karen McManus. It came out earlier this year, and this is another one that like I finished and was like, I really, really enjoyed this book, and I think I didn't shut up about it for a while. It's a thriller, kind of being like likened to The Breakfast Club, kind of, because five characters go into detention, but only four come out. And so the whole book is trying to work out.
Sounds a movie coming, maybe.
Yeah, like no one actually was killed in The Breakfast Club, but
similar. Like similar vibe, like the characters have like their personality traits, so
to
speak.
Very different kids with not much in common all thrown together in detention, except also murder.
I really enjoyed this one, and I think there's not many YA thrillers that like do justice, and this one I really was happy with. And I was constantly guessing the entire book, like what was going on. So I really enjoyed that aspect of a thriller. I think it's a bit boring when you can work out exactly what's going to happen in a thriller, and then you get to the end and that's exactly what you guessed. So
I like to be surprised.
I loved YA thrillers because I love thrillers and I love YA.
And
so
YA.
It's like two things I love combined. And that one was really good. I really enjoyed it too.
And I like the characters. I think they were made out to be stereotypes, but I think she did them justice.
She played well with those stereotypes, yeah.
So there's the one is the jock, one is like the bad guy, one was the princess, like the, you know, popular princess, get everything girl. And then, yes, we had a nerd. And then there was like the kind of outcast, kind of weird one, I guess.
But then they don't always play true to the stereotype.
No, that's what I really enjoyed about it. Yeah.
Good choice. And I liked your choices.
My final one, I'm actually looking at my long list of books here. I'm like, what is my final one going to be? I'm going to go with Take Three Girls by Kath Crowley, Fiona Wood, and Simone Howe, which is an Australian YA read. And I really enjoyed this one. I liked the message it had because it kind of deals with like cyberbullying to an extent, and like it kind of is a bit empowering to girls, and I think that's important. And it's like set in a school, like I think it was a female boarding school. I've read it a few months ago, but I don't know, I just really liked it. I liked these three authors coming together to write a really well-written book, and
they're
the characters, they really are, and the characters were really likable. And this was another one that kind of didn't end up where I thought it was going to go, so that's always good. But I just think it's nice to celebrate Australian authors, and this was a nice collection of Australian authors.
I actually can't believe I haven't read that book yet. I'm ashamed that I haven't read it yet. It's in my pile. I haven't done it yet. But all of those authors are so amazing. Like, I can't see how it can't be an amazing book. And we've got Tanea's seal of approval.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yes, they're my top five picks for Christmas.
Were those five picks?
Yeah.
Really quickly.
Was it? Hang on. One, two,
it was.
Three. Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. That's why I was like, I need to pick one for my final one, and there's so many left on this list.
Oh my God. I, too, misunderstood the brief for this, and I had a top 10. So
you
I'm
can
just
talk about it, and that's fine.
I mean, I'm trying to whittle it down, and it's sort of difficult. I'm going to start, I mean, I'm not going to say there's a particular order to this, but I will start with a recently read favourite, which is Unearthed by Amy Kaufman and Megan Spooner.
Oh, I was going
to
bring that up, yeah.
So,
I left
so
that for you.
Fun.
I claimed Renegades and I left Unearthed for you.
I really liked this one. Like, and it's not surprising to me. I'm a huge fan of both these authors individually and together.
Mm.
The Starbound trilogy is awesome. Hunted by Megan Spooner, which I've got on my list because technically it was this year. It was just a really long time ago. It was early this year. which is a Beauty and the Beast retelling, which obviously I always love. Love that. They're both great. Together they do great things. Separately they do great things. And I'm just, because we can't talk about what Amy Kaufman does separately because that's not coming until next year. I'm veering off course.
Yeah.
I'm veering off
back
course.
To Unearth.
Back to Unearth. So this is like billed as Indiana Jones and Lara Croft in space,
which
is
amazing.
It's very accurate. It's exactly, pretty much exactly what you hope that will be like. I love the two main characters. They're really different people, worked really well together. I loved the whole world. I loved that they were solving like alien puzzles together.
It was
like
a lot of fun.
It was a huge treasure hunt. It was like the Temple of Doom in space. It was just so great. And and left on a pretty interesting cliffhanger because this will be a duology, and I'm really looking forward to the next book.
When is it coming out? Do we know?
It comes out, as we record this podcast, it comes out tomorrow. So
no, the sequel.
Oh,
it'll be next year.
Probably this time next year, if you would call it the Friend of YA books.
Sad.
Oh, that's how I felt about Renegades as well.
Yeah.
FYI. I was like, oh, why do you do this to me?
But see, we have, you know, we can talk to these authors and be like, but why? But we want them now.
Yeah, like let's like ask Amy Kaufman and Megan Spooner when they come
now,
in. Hey, so what's going to happen in book two? Like, tell us, because we can't wait.
We won't tell anyone, we promise.
That
never
works.
That won't go down well.
No, I don't think they're going to tell us.
It is tough. Like, as much as it's great to get these books early and read them, like,
The wait is longer for the next one then.
It is. It makes it even longer to wait. Although then we get sometimes get the sequel early. So like,
oh, let's just like fingers crossed that we get the next one early. Like 6 months early though. Like, yeah, well and truly early.
Very, very early.
We're so greedy. Okay, so that's my number one pick.
Mm-hmm.
I also wanted, and that sort of, I also encompassed Hunted in that. Hunted, mm-hmm, I did. Love. Hunted is like just one of my favorites from this year. It's just absolutely beautiful. I can't do it. Have either of you read that yes. one? I
will be it. This week.
Oh my God. It's just, it's a great one to read in summer as well because it'll make you feel cold.
Cold. Like, yeah. You do. You feel, yeah.
You will definitely feel the imagery atmosphere of being in like a snowy forest is just so.
It's well very done. Visual. I felt like I felt almost like I was in a virtual reality world when I was reading it. Like it was.
It's magical writing. It is magical. And it's a beautiful story and it's a nice take on Beauty and the Beast. I love retellings generally, but I especially love them when they can bring something a little bit different to the story, and I feel that that really happened there. So that's my two. So number three, I'm going to say Strange the Dreamer by Lainey Taylor.
Yes, I didn't read it yet. It's one of those ones that I was like, why haven't I read this yet? We're in almost December God. And you haven't read it yet.
I mean, I'm jealous because I would love to read it again for the first time. That book is gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
It's another really visual feast. Like the imagery in it is just so fantastical and just like the best word I can think of to describe Lainey Taylor's writing is just like phantasmagorical. It's
phantasmagorical.
Just she has the most incredible imagination. It's frightening but beautiful. It's like the dark side of fairy tales melded in with like just demonic, angelic, amazing, wonderful awesomeness, and it's and everything
what you just said was extremely accurate.
Yeah, and that is all on display here. Plus we've got a beautiful book obsessed main character.
Yes, that's always lovely.
It is,
which I love. And
yeah, it's great.
And another agonizing cliffhanger, because this is the first of the book in a duology.
I won't obviously spoil anything, but that cliffhanger.
That was like one of the worst ones. Yeah, I feel like someone punched me in the gut.
I was like, what just happened?
Excuse I think me? I audibly was like, no. Like, I cried. That one was bad.
It was rough.
Like, so often, basically, I should hold off a few more months until the second one is out.
I mean, no, but a few months will be lucky.
I've already waited like a year, though.
Yeah, but
it's almost been a year.
Lainey Taylor, you can't rush genius, I guess, because she doesn't always, she's not one of those authors who always has a book every year.
Mm.
And we know the title is Muse of Nightmares for book two, but.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Such a good title.
There's no, as far as I'm aware, there's no fixed publication date for it yet.
Sleuth so this right now.
It might not happen until, like, I wouldn't be surprised if it was 2019 until we saw it, but maybe not. Well, maybe it'll be.
The color scheme will be like, because the first book was beautiful blue.
Gorgeous book.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be gold with blue accents.
That would be cool, right? Yeah.
I don't know. I love that book, and it's one of the best ones that I've read ever, and definitely this year.
Mm.
It's so hard to pick.
Okay, yeah, it doesn't have a release date at all. Like, yeah. Not even, like, year 2019. It has
nothing. When she's ready.
Whenever she's ready, it'll be great whenever it comes. It's early this year, so it was January this year, but I really liked Caraval by Stephanie Garber. I haven't read that yet. It's a magical book, very, like, sort of.
Enchanting.
It's enchanting, and I've heard it, like, there was a great description of it, but it's got sort of vibes of The Labyrinth and mm-hmm. like vibes of The Night Circus sort of, and vibes of just, you know, any story you can think of where a girl falls down a rabbit hole into a crazy world. There's no literal rabbit hole, just so you know, but it's like slipping into another world, and you know, there's romance and there's adventure and there's cool imagery and another beautiful book.
Yeah, the actual cover is stunning. Is beautiful.
Yeah. And we've got the sequel to that, Legendary, is coming next year sometime, mm-hmm. which I look forward to. It's all going to be all about the main character's sister and Legend. Like, if we're going to be comparing it to Labyrinth, I guess he's the David Bowie of the show. Like, anyway, I look forward to that. And so what am I up to? How many have I said?
I think you're up to the fifth.
Yeah.
No.
You can throw in a few more if you really, if you're gonna.
It's gonna be preferential treatment here. I would have thrown in.
Well, we can all talk about. I have to say The Hate U Give.
That was on mine. Yeah.
That was one of the most powerful books that I read this year. I'm feeling this real pressure to rush through this list because I want to mention all of them. Moxie by Jennifer Matthew. Mm-hmm. Was a great feminist read. I really enjoyed that one. I really liked the main character, and it's one of those books where she starts out quite sort of timid and retiring and really finds herself through the course of the book and comes into her own, and it's great. Really loved it. No Limits by Ellie Marnie. Loved that book. Mm-hmm. Love Ellie Marnie. I actually had never read an Ellie Marnie book until this year, and I thank Tanea for recommending the Every series to me, which is just so good.
It's fun.
I love it so much. I've already read it twice. Like, I've read the whole series twice this year because I just love it so much.
Your TBR pile is like...
I know.
Growing.
I'm a chronic for rereading.
You know what? So. It's worth the reread. It really is.
Okay.
It is.
Show you later.
If you don't know, they're like Sherlock and Holmes retelling, but like Australian and like so Australian, but
and
so beautiful.
And like Watson is a girl.
Yeah, good.
And like,
I like it.
It's just great. It's
it really
awesome.
Is.
And I loved those books. And so then when this No Limits came out, which just came out maybe like a month ago or so.
I think 2 months now, maybe.
Oh God, time. Like time, well, it's a construct. Who cares? So like, I was really excited because it's a spin-off from that series. Mm-hmm. Following the character of Paris, who's very lovable. Loved it. Was great. There's Someone Inside Your House by Stephanie Perkins. It's also a favourite for me this
year. I really enjoyed that as well.
I love Stephanie Perkins because she...
I love Anna and the French Kiss so much.
She knows exactly how to write the sweetest, cutest, most enchanting YA romances ever.
Really?
Like, her books are so comfort reads for me. There's another one
that
I've read more
to
than
me
once.
As well. Like, if I'm in a book slump, like, that is one of two go-to books to read to get me out of my
They're
slump.
Lovely. They're just lovely. And they don't get unlovely. Like, the more you read them, they're still as good as you remember every time you return to them.
Like, seriously.
She's just one of those authors, like most of the ones on this list, to be honest, that I will always... I will automatically buy authors. Mm. But this book was a bit different for her because she's always written these
contemporary,
real rom-com type
contemporaries.
And this is, I mean, it was still contemporary, but it had murder in it. Like, it had a serial killer on the loose in this town while these two teens fall adorably in love.
And it's so adorable.
Yes. It's so adorable and so genuinely creepy, right?
Yes.
Like, it was the...
One minute you're like, oh, and then you're scared by the book across the room.
It was kind of like the movie Scream, but with more romance and just better. Like, I'm not dissing Scream, it's a fine film, but this is like...
Better.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was just a great combination of things. Like, there's kind of nothing greater than having like a really... It's why I love On Earth, except it's a very different kind of book. But it's like you just get these two cute teenagers and they're falling in love and it's first love and it's so adorable and sweet, but they're also in mortal danger. Like, it's great.
The best way to fall.
Romantic suspense. Teen romantic suspense. In this case, the danger's a little bit less otherworldly than in On Earth. It's in space. This is in a small American town with a killer on the loose. Really loved that one. And then I just wanted to quickly shout out to two more and then I'm done.
Come on, Sarah.
Alex Approximately by Jen Bennett.
You've made me buy that. I just bought that this week.
Have to
read
you
made
it.
Me buy that.
Yeah. It's really so these are my like cute romance. I'm in my cute
stage
now. This is my like I've got such a weakness for like little rom-coms and stuff.
Same.
Yeah. And so this one, Alex Approximately, the premise is that these two kids have been chatting online but using not their real names and they've become sort of really good friends with romantic overtones, and then they meet in real life, but neither of them know. It's like You've Got Mail. It's like You've Got Mail for teenagers, and they don't realize that they know each other in real life. Then one of them figures it out, and it's very cute.
Also a Cinderella story-esque. Hilary Duff.
Oh, yeah, no, I was like, this is not a Cinderella story.
No, like the movie, similar to that. Yeah.
So when people know each other really well online and then they meet in real life but don't realise that they are each other.
Well, I bought that book because of you, because I just, it was always in the back of my mind how much you loved it. And I
you
was
won't
like,
regret it.
What do I want to buy this week? And I was like, this book. So I bought it.
Good choice. I really enjoyed it. And then I also really enjoyed Letters to the Lost by Bridget. I always say this wrong, but I think it's Camera.
I can't vouch for that because I have never said it out loud.
Bridget Camera. That's how I'm going to say it. So it's a similar type of thing. I only just realized that this is obviously a real jam of mine. So like these guys meet each other in a letter. This is like just, I didn't.
Back before the internet.
I really am addicted to this apparently. I need to hunt more of these down. So this is a story about two young people, and the main character girl has lost her mother, and she writes a letter to her mother and leaves it on her grave. And then when she returns to the grave, she finds that the letter's still there, but it's been opened. And when she opens it, someone has like
written a response
at the bottom of it. And it starts off this letter writing thing.
A bit creepy.
A little bit morbid, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to open your personal letter to your dead mother. And I'm going to reply.
It's
morbid, but we laugh. Yeah.
Well, now it sounds weird, but trust me, in the book, it's she's actually really angry because it does feel like a violation. Yeah. But then from that is sparked this back and forth.
But then there's that curiosity that, you know.
Well, because I could be wrong about this, but the response was just me too, because I think she ends off with something about how her grief makes her feel.
Oh,
and then
okay.
The response is just like me too, and she's like, how dare you? And then things go from there, and it's another adorable one. They also meet in real life and takes them a while to figure out.
Okay, but I kind of want to read this now.
I know, so do I.
It's great. It's so
remind
great.
Me later.
They're really opposite. It's really great book that shows you how your impression of someone is not always, like, she has a really bad impression of this guy when she meets him in real life, but they're so compatible and such good friends in letters. So it's like a good one to show you how. Yeah, it's like great. It's great about looking beneath your first impression, and also
don't judge a
it's
book
just,
by its cover.
Well, even though we do that daily,
we do
more than daily, multiple times per day.
And now I will stop. There are so many others we could talk about, but
I know because I still have like 50 on my list that you did not mention. So like literally so many we could continue to talk about, but now it's bronze time. Mm.
Well, I'm gonna go and take us back a little bit and talk about a few older books, slightly older books, because you guys are, we're on a much faster readers than I am, so I haven't read as many books this year as you guys have, but one I have read this year, which Tanea has also read, is This Mortal Coil by Emily Subaya.
I really want to read this.
It's so good, everyone.
It really is.
It's awesome. I remember when I heard about it, absolutely wanting to read it straight away, and it was so, so good. And okay. Trying to explain this well. Here we go. So it's about a world where this virus has hit that, and it might sound ridiculous, but it's not. If you're infected, you end up exploding into
pink dust.
Well, it's your blood. You're exploding into pink mist because that's the color of your diluted blood, I guess. And
the only way to stay immune
is to eat the flesh of the infected
before they explode.
Like it's a certain time period. It's very scientific. But what I love is that the author has a degree in
genetics.
So she had something
genetic engineering.
Yeah.
She's Australian, right?
Yeah.
Lives in America.
And her degree is, I think, it's genetic engineering. And so her scientific explanations
in the book are great.
Are perfect. They're so fitting.
Like you don't understand it, but you do at the same time. Like
it
makes sense. Like we obviously. I'm not a genetic engineer, I know nothing about it, but she does it in a way that makes you not feel like an idiot, makes you feel really included in the world, it's got really cute romance.
It should also just be said that this book also features DNA coding.
Yes, which is...
So that you can change
like
things.
The colour of your hair.
I desperately need to read this.
Yeah, because I just feel like that will make more sense as to why her genetic engineering degree makes sense.
Emily Subada, is that correct? Yeah, okay.
So. There's so many elements to this story that trying to explain the plot is so difficult.
But it doesn't go where you think it's going to go.
No.
Like,
there's a really good plot twist at the end.
Love triangle.
No. I don't know how you would... I'm going to say no.
No,
I don't think it is one.
Okay.
You'll be satisfied with it.
Because you know that I really hate a love triangle.
No. It's not a love triangle.
Have faith. Keep reading. Okay. Like, I remember I was reading it first, but Tanea obviously surpassed me because she's much faster, but she was saying, like, oh, I can see it's something that's happening and I really don't want it to happen. And I was like, ooh.
Yeah, I wasn't changed. Happy with how the romance was going. But then in the end, I was like, wait a second.
No, it redeems itself. It's really cool.
Like, I'm definitely reading it.
It's so good.
I wanted to just read this book in one sitting because every single chapter ends on, like, not a plot twist per se, but like...
Mini cliffhanger.
And so you just want to keep reading the next chapter. And then the next one. And then the next one. Yeah. And then it was like, I have a job. And I have to put the book
down.
I
need to eat. And, you know,
so I have to sleep. So
you don't have to sleep. I mean,
I still read it pretty much in like a day and a half, including working and like sleeping and stuff. Yeah, so I still read it really fast. I still devoured it. Just slightly less because adult responsibilities. Yeah.
But that is a new one that came out in October, so that's like perfect, you know, for anyone at Christmas, friends, your kids. I wouldn't have read it.
I think it's perfect if you, because it's dystopian, and I feel like YA dystopia has kind of left the limelight a little bit.
But it's so...
Everyone kind of frowns upon it now, but
I don't think people frown upon it, but I do agree, the craze has dwindled a bit, so now...
This one is
the
really...
The good ones are getting published,
really,
right?
Really unique, refreshing. I really enjoyed
it.
It
is refreshing. That's a great word for it.
Yeah.
It's really just... Yeah. I loved it. Okay, so that was probably my favourite, and that's a this year one. But sort of going back a little bit, speaking of Megan Spooner and Amy Kaufman, I did want to actually mention the Starbound trilogy because I loved it.
It's so good.
I actually haven't read the third one yet. I'm trying to hold off because I don't want it to be
over. Oh my gosh, that's kind of the best one.
No, I like the second one the most.
No, so far I love the first one the most. That's the one I wanted to talk about.
All three have a different favourite book in the series. Interesting.
I mean, I'm kind of equally... space between all of them, but I do love a trilogy where it brings everything together and
I love
all
that.
The characters
it's
from
like,
the previous
kind of like that Love Actually kind of idea of everybody slightly connected somehow. And for those of you who haven't read it, it's well the first one, These Broken Stars, which is the one that I mean that I remember reading that book and I felt like I'd been sucker punched, but in like a good way.
Because it really draws
I wasn't in. Expecting that kind of read. Yeah, it's
do you
kind
agree
of like
that
Titanic in space. And the ship crashes and they end up on this planet and weird things are happening, a lot of supernatural elements, and of course they fall in love, and all that kind of romance, it's really cute. But I just remember feeling really like someone had ripped out my heart and there was just this weird, uncertain sort of uneasiness left at the end, but in a good way.
There's one particular point in that book where I was like devastated.
I think I know the point.
Yeah.
That's the point.
And
I'm
I was like,
up.
Why?
And
like,
I was constantly
really...
on edge after that thing happened. I was like, oh no, what's going to happen now? Really good.
Yeah.
Especially if you like sci-fi and a YA sort of combo. So that was...
Or if you just like space in general.
Good old space.
Space.
Or if you just, you know, love romance. They're all quite romantic.
Yeah. I love Amy and Megan. They're so great. And another one, but this is Amy Kaufman and Jay Kristoff, is their Illumine.
Well, I mean... Oh, yeah, because we're going back...
I'm going back.
You're going
a little
back
bit.
Before 2017.
So I'm saying that
it's a good story.
If you haven't heard of it or read it yet or got on the bandwagon, please do because it's so good.
They're the
so
best.
Starts with Illumine, then Gemini, and we're coming. The third one's coming next year, and
they're like the most unique.
They are
YA
amazing.
Books ever.
And the way
like,
they're
I don't think you can top them.
Like the way they're written, you buy the physical book. It's unbelievable. It's written in dossiers and video surveillance footage and. Like illustrations and lists, and so it's really quick read.
Even though they're massive,
they're
over 600 pages.
You could hit someone
you
in the
can
face
easily
with it.
Read it in a sitting.
And it's such a great reading experience because it really is like it's immersive. It's not.
And the characters are great. They're so quirky and they're so memorable
and sassy.
And sassy.
Yeah.
So much sass in those books.
The quipping. The witty repartee.
And like it's all done over like chat and like emails. And it's like I want to be like you.
I don't know.
Please.
It's great.
I remember in the second one with the whole over email caps thing was like I think I've laughed so hard in a book in a long time. Just anyway, they're great. Please
read
them.
Wait for a
I know. I want the third one. Actually, I'm gonna reread these before the third one comes out.
I reread Illumina before Gemini.
Sarah is in the second one. Dancing on a table.
That's the great thing about these authors is that they give you the opportunity to get your names in the book. So,
well, because you know them.
And like, well, and also for fans, right? They always have competitions.
Well, they got one.
Well,
they had one running.
Well, you could die in the book.
I really
want
to die in the third book. It would just be magical. I know it sounds weird, but it really would be.
It's, I mean...
Fictional Bron has been killed off?
Yes, fictional Bron. Not real Bron. Fictional Bron.
I really enjoy those books.
They're a lot of fun.
Okay, so steering away now from space, as much as I love space, and again going back a few years, is Everything Everything,
which I also read for the first time this year.
So yes, I only read it this year.
Yeah, same.
It's so fun. It's like it's light. It's funny. It's relatable. I really love the layout. Like it's just
yeah.
Like
I
miss sometimes and emails and things like that.
Wasn't expecting that. No. I just thought it was like your casual YA contemporary. And I remember like telling you, I was like, oh, like it's got this stuff in it, yeah. And like it was fun. Like it
and
added to the reading.
There's a twist, and it's really interesting. And
I didn't love the twist.
I knew the twist, so I didn't get that moment of like shock.
I knew there was a twist, but I didn't know what it was.
I enjoyed the book. I read it a while ago now, so and I haven't seen the movie yet. I thought it was great, and I love Nicola Yoon, and I think that it's a good book. But I did the twist when it happened for some reason, though.
It's a bit unsettling.
It didn't impact how much I liked the book in the end. I liked it, but I did get really annoyed when it happened. Well, like I felt really annoyed.
I knew the twist, I didn't get
better to know it going in. That's one that I would have
liked to
be spoiled on.
I would have liked to know. I'm the opposite. I would have liked to know what I would have thought of it without knowing that. But I've known that since the book came out, which was a few years ago now, and that's how long I've known what happens in this book because someone spoiled me on Instagram, and it's one of those books that I've just always remembered ending of. So
I actually. And I mean, she might have done this on purpose, but I sort of, a couple of chapters before, there was a point where I guessed it. I was like, uh-oh. And then not long after that, it was like, boom, this. And I went, oh no. I was hoping that I was wrong, you know, like, because it's quite gut-wrenching. And I mean, but I loved it. I loved the whole thing as a whole. It made me smile, made me chuckle. And it was so relatable. Just even though her situation is not relatable at all.
No.
Everything else, she's just a normal human girl.
Yeah.
With a crush on a boy next door.
It's
so,
very
you're like,
cute.
Oh, it's so adorable.
I did enjoy it. But there are some twists that when they happen, you're like, oh my God. And it's like this sixth sense moment where you're like, it all makes sense. And everything falls into place, like dominoes falling over. And there are other twists that just kind of jump out at you like a jack-in-the-box and it feels weird and disjointed and like, ah, what? Mm-hmm. And that was one of those twists.
Yeah, it was definitely out of the box. But I still loved it. And then going even further back.
This is your last one? This is number five. Unless you want to do a Sarah and talk about like 15 other books.
Well, I mean, I do have two more
I'm
much
shrugging.
Older ones. I've got two more that are much older ones and I can just quickly talk about them. And I mean, most people will probably have read this, but if they haven't, please read The Fault Now Starts. Okay, that one was one of my all-time favourite John Green reads. I smashed it. I didn't think I had ever read a book so fast in my life. This is years ago now.
Yeah, it's very readable. I think it's the best of all of his books.
It's so gut-wrenching.
I will second that.
Yeah. But I just it was really, really got to me and it really stuck with me and it was part hilarious and part devastating. And I think that's what made it really stand out for me at the time, you know, and everybody else, which is why it was so popular.
It did take the world by storm.
It did. And that movie,
Yeah, it's one of those rare occasions when the movie for me was exactly on point with the book. Like,
I thought the movie was better, and I never think that. Yeah,
I love
them
both.
Like the movie.
I'll read it. I'll watch it. My mom guessed it. We were watching the movie, and she guessed that plot twist. I won't say what it is in case you haven't read it.
Even though it's been out for almost 6 years.
Oh, but this is my mom. My mom does not go in the circles that I go in. She would have no idea. She's just one of those people. She calls it. But yeah, so no, that's a really great one. It's an old one, but
yeah. And
you know.
Side note, if you do like John Green, then you should try his new book, Turtles
All
the Way Down.
Yep, that's it. There we go. A little, his most recent. So I haven't read it yet, but
me either. But
it's
available in hardcover, and it looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
So there you go. So they're my. I'll just stop there. They're my five. And I also think we should talk about though what's coming soon. Say you know late this year, early next year. That we can't wait for.
We're going to get the most obvious one now that I know all three of us have on our list.
Obsidio
by Amy Hoffman and Jay Kristoff.
So
which we already
three.
Kind of did discuss already.
But we didn't say, it's going to be epic.
It's going to be epic.
It is. It really is. So I can't wait for that. That's March 14.
So many people are going to get killed.
Yay! And if you think about how many people die in the first two books, it's kind of shocking. But, yeah.
So, well, my other ones I'm excited for is Zenith by Sasha Alsberg and Lindsay Cummings.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's January.
Yeah.
So Sasha Alsberg is a booktuber, so book YouTuber, if you don't know what that means. And Lindsay Cummings is another YA author. I think she wrote a book called The Murder Complex. It's something like that. And so they teamed up for this book, and it's set in space on a spaceship, and I think it's like, I've started to read it, but I'm not far enough into it to really know what it's about, and I'm kind of going into it blind, but I think it's kind of like highlighting like girls can be on spaceships
like
as well. And yeah, it seems like it's going to be fun.
All girls spaceship, right?
Yeah. So I'm excited to finish reading that since I have started it. And I'm also excited for Heart of Iron by Ashley Poston, who wrote Geekerella, which came out this year, which was like a sci-fi retelling of Cinderella. And this one, I didn't realize, was inspired by the story of Anastasia until today. So I'm quite excited.
I'm very excited for
that.
I'll so be on board with that.
I'm also excited for Rain the Earth by A.C. Gorgon. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it. I know it's not.
I love the look of uncertainty on your face today.
I don't like to pronounce people's names wrong, knowing that most people pronounce mine wrong, and I hate it. Yeah. So that's how we're going to say it. And if I'm wrong, I'm sorry.
Who pronounces your name incorrectly? It's spelled phonetically.
People. A lot of people. like 23 years worth of people spent like saying that wrong.
There's no excuse for that.
This one is like a kind of, I feel like desert stories are kind of becoming popular. Mm. And this is another one I don't know all that much about, but I do know it's set, like, same kind of thing, desert, and I think she has powers. I think I read the description before, and I think it's something that she can, like, wield the power of the earth kind of thing. So I think that that could be fun and exciting, because these do seem to be becoming more popular, and so I'm always down for good, fun books with that kind of setting. And then the last one, which is, I'm basing it off the cover. I have no idea what this one's about. I'm going to assume it's fantasy. It is The Queen's Rising by Rebecca Ross. Mm-hmm. And like, I can't show you the cover because this is a podcast, but
it's seriously, beautiful.
It's beautiful. Like, it's so beautiful. I think I convinced Ron to like pre-order it the other day just by showing her the cover, because
this
like
is
that's
what,
the kind
when
of
we
person
do actually
I am.
Judge by the cover and we go, I know I'm going to like it. And that's what
have
happened
you
with
bought
me
it
with
too?
Never Night. I just looked at that cover and went, I know I'm going to love it. And
yes,
I did.
I convinced her to
so
buy it.
So all three
week.
Of us have pre-ordered this book based on the beautiful cover.
And we don't even know what it's
and also, well, I know what it's about, because to me...
So someone read the description?
I did,
and
but
I was like, no, I'm just going to buy it because the cover's pretty.
I read it based... The cover is beautiful, but the description reminded me a little bit of the Robin Lefebvre's His Fair Assassin series, and a little bit, which also reminds me of Jacqueline Carey's Cashiel's series. So, like, but that's a bit more adult, but like, it seems to be have shades of that in it. So, I was immediately on board. Mm. I'm keen for that one too.
The cover is stunning, just FYI. The cover is stunning.
I'm also looking forward to, and I think I'm going to get this wrong, but the sequel to The Bear and the Nightingale, I think it's The Girl in the Tower. Really.
Is that YA though? I didn't think The Bear and the Nightingale was really YA. I don't feel like it's in that market. It could, like, I'm sure there's probably
making
an exception.
I kind of put it on the sort of cusp. I don't know. It's like...
It's one of those ones that, like, both, okay.
I'm also, I mean, my TBR was mostly, I chose books that are already out that I haven't got to yet, but... To talk about books that are coming, one that we've both already read is The Hazelwood.
Oh, I loved that.
Really liked that. That was really cool.
It's like dark and fairy tale-esque, and I love this. I've already told everyone this, but I love the first sentence in that story, and it's like
Great first sentence.
It's not going to be the correct wording, but it's like my mother was raised on fairy tales and I was raised on highways or something.
I think that's pretty much it.
And I from the first sentence, I was like, done, sold. I'm going to love this book.
It's a great book. I really liked that one. What else is coming up? I mean, of books that have come out this year that I haven't read yet that I really want to read, I had The Mortal Coil written down.
Oh, yes.
This Mortal Coil.
Read
I've
it.
Got Nexus
Everybody.
By
Margo
Lanigan.
Oh, I'm excited enough to read it. I need to read the sequel first because I haven't read the second book yet. And then I'm excited for Nexus.
I can't believe I haven't read that yet. I really want to get to that. Thick as Thieves by Megan Wallen Turner, who has written...
I've always heard her name is Waylon Turner.
Maybe it is. Maybe it is Waylon. I don't know.
Sorry if your name is wrong again.
I'm like, I don't know. But I really love her series, and this is a new one. And I've got it at home. Haven't started it yet. And I really want to read The Daughter of the Pirate King.
Oh, yeah. That like looks
Trisha
fun.
Trisha Levenseller. That looks
always like pirate stories. I feel like there's like not enough pirate YA
all
pirate
stories.
YA books.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and those are my ones that I plan to get to really quickly because they're sitting beside my bed and I haven't started them yet.
Story of my life.
I'm really looking forward to Everlast by Sarah Holland.
Oh yeah, that also looks really good.
Yeah, which I've had in my arc for a while. I just haven't, again, got around to my giant TBR pile. But it just sounds really interesting, and just to read a little description. It just says, time is a prison, she is the key. And it's like a perfect read for if you love like the Red Queen and all those kinds of stories. And I just, again,
you read Red Queen?
Yeah, I've read the first one. I haven't read the rest yet.
I need to catch up too.
Yeah. But just reading that first thing, I was like sold about, oh, you know, they sell their life. It sounded so good. So I'm keen for that. And that's coming out this year. So just a couple of days after Christmas. So
I feel like it's one of those ones that the Australian publication date's different to America, because I thought it was January. So I think it's Australia might be lucky to get it early, which is always nice.
If you get a gift card or something, you can get it just after Christmas.
Good way to spend your post-Christmas money.
Indeed.
We'll wrap it up there, but I just wanted to finish with, what are we all reading at the moment? So Tanea, what are you reading?
Okay, I've already said I'm in started Zenith by Sasha Alsberg and Lindsay Cummings, but I am also halfway through Little Fires Everywhere by Celeste Ng. That's how I've been told you say it, but that's not YA. That's fiction. But I'm
that's okay.
YA podcast.
Technically, I'm also in the middle of two other books, but we've been in the middle of those for like 6 months now, so we're just going to not mention those and move on, because you are going to cry when I tell you what they are. So moving on.
No, now you have to tell me.
God's Grave by J. Christoph.
How did you stop?
Because I'm not in a fantasy mood. I don't know. No. And then The Waking Land by Callie Bates.
Oh my God.
Because I'm not in a fantasy mood. And so it's not the books, it's
You'll
me.
You'll notice.
It's not the books, it's me. I know this.
Definitely because...
Tanea. I'm not crying, but I am.
She's You're crying on the inside.
My soul is weeping.
So yes, I'm reading 4 books at the moment.
Yeah.
Which I never used to do, and now I do. On to Sarah.
So I have just started, and I already had a little love ode to her earlier in the podcast, but Ellie Marnie's new book, which is White Knight. Really loving it. Really loving it so far, but I've only just started it. Also, keen to, this is also on my, one of the upcoming books from next year that I'm really excited about, but The Beast's Heart, which is another Beauty and the Beast retelling, because I can never ever get enough of them.
Yeah,
super keen for that. And I'm also, just to continue this trend of chucking in one that's not YA, I'm also about to start Redemption Point by Candace Fox. I'm really excited.
Oh, that'll be so good.
Yeah.
And Bron, what are you reading?
I'm reading 2. One is audiobook, though, for my long drives to work. I'm listening to The Wise Man's Fear by Patrick Rothfuss. So ages since I read The Name of the Wind, but it's really great to get back into the world. It's just so detailed, so interesting. And I'm reading Lost Boy by Christina Henry, which is a Peter Pan retelling where Peter is psychotic. And they're the ones that I like, because if you read the original, and if you've listened to these podcasts, you'll have heard me say this before, Peter's a little disturbing. And you would be if you lived forever as a child on an island killing cats.
I just love retellings. Full stop.
Me too.
So.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
Well, there we go. Thank you for joining us, everyone. If you're looking for some great YA books, there's more in our Christmas campaign
so
online.
More.
So just go peruse and go nuts. So have a great Christmas shopping experience, and we'll catch you next Wednesday at 11 a.m.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.